You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 5 for a moment. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you to deal with our heads, our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth, God, for our country, president, and all the way down, police, the firemen, God help us. As we look to you, thank you very much. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. If you were living in the days of the book Moses, if you were living in his day, and you lived through the 10 plagues, lived through them, would you tell me how it went? If you were an Israelite, how did it go? Did you make it? It was a horrible time. Did you make it? After those 10 plagues, are you able to Exodus with Moses out of Egypt? Now, God, you did that. You did that. So, and God, where did all those plagues come from? Oh, the devil did his duplicating, trying to duplicate, do what he did, and God countered him, each one of them, with his magnificent grace and mercy. Now, if you jump into the tribulation, tell me, how it's going to go. Well, it isn't going to go like that. Israel's going to suffer. The believers are going to suffer. The plagues and the pestilence and all of that's going to be rather pronounced, to say the least. So therefore, during that time, it's going to be a very hard time. But you know what? I know what. God keeps the 144,000. He keeps the Jews. God keeps the two witnesses. God keeps the believers he wants to keep, and he lets the others die. And God said it isn't an issue. God allows it to happen. That's the tribulation coming up. Now, but we aren't with Moses, and we aren't in the tribulation. We're right now in the age of grace. So since we're not either one of those, and are really the reality we face is here and now. Therefore, we've been trying to answer that as carefully as we can, quickly as we can. There's all the other truths and things we've been studying, but if we don't get this part clear, and we could let it, God has brought it to pass, so we have to keep thinking about it till we get it, because otherwise we could sit here for another 10 years and never connect at all. And you never connected. You heard the messages, whatever, and you did whatever, but you didn't connect. And you'll end up with wood, hay, and stubble. So we're trying to take advantage of the whole thing. Therefore, John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, what are we told? God tells us, "Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, what do I know as a believer? What do you know? What did God say? God said, A, if you believe the God's word and receive him as your Savior, you have everlasting life. When do you have everlasting life? Now, don't you? You aren't going to get it. You either done got it. You aren't going to get it. So either you have it or you don't, to start with. That's number one. Second thing, and you are not going to come into condemnation, no judgment. And you want to take that, and while you're here in John, it's easy and time easy, slide over, hold your finger here, and go over to chapter 3. And in verse 18, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He didn't believe. That's why he's condemned. But you did believe, therefore back over to John chapter 5, verse 24. I'll read it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That's what you just read. You're going to be condemned until you believe. When you believe, you're no longer condemned. When are you no longer condemned? The minute you believe and have eternal life. Lastly, and, verse 24, and is past, it's all gone, from death to life. A wonder you've been dead in sins and God makes you alive. When? Now. Not next week, not 2 seconds from now. Now. It's either now or it isn't. There is no 5 minutes from now. Now is now. All of that is true now, if you're saved. Now, whether you enjoy that or understand that, that's the whole issue. But it's now. Go with me, please, in the light of that. Over in Romans and chapter 13. And you will remember Romans and wonderful God's righteousness given to us in Christ Jesus. And the result of that, we have a unique relationship to God. When you come to chapter 13, in the light of all of that, picking up, please, directly if I can, to verse 14. Now, and that knowing all of these wonderful things, knowing that the time now is
high time.
When is it high time? Now. To awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now we're saved, and we're an hour closer to what? His coming. That's what we're going to do. So God, we're nearer. So every day that goes by, if you lived in John's day, he was looking for his coming. You lived in Paul's day, they were looking for his coming. And here we are now. We're closer to the edge of the tribulation, and that surely now is now. Now, so now. Now it's time to awake out of sleep. You got to wake up. Now, not next month. Now, it's closer. You say, well, I'm gonna go do it next week. I'll procrastinate. And you can procrastinate, but you wouldn't say, well, I'll do it. I'll fix it then. I'll do it then. But it's now. There is no time. Therefore, you want to understand it's time to wake up. Over to Ephesians. In Ephesians in chapter 5, you are going to recall chapter 5, picking up please, going directly in the light of the context and everything, verse 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake, there's your little word, awake, the time is nearer, wake up, thou that sleepest, awake up, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Dead, you want to have you really? You've been saved. You've gone from death unto life, and you don't want to be spiritually dull, dead. In other words, you're acting as if. Remember the animal we had up here, the dwarf. And we had that. You went from death to life. You don't want to act as if you're dead when you're saved. You don't want to be carnal, fleshly, dead, as if you weren't saved. But you are saved. Then be saved. But you don't have to act saved. You don't have to believe. Believe is don't do much believing, actually. So they need to wake up. Therefore, verse 14 again, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that thou walk circumspectly, most carefully, not as fools, but as wise, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. So we're going to be doing that. We're waking up. That's right. And so that God said, wake up. Okay, I got that part. And now I'm supposed to wake up and stay awake and not be sleepy. Over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, picking up, please, in thought, we read this morning, and it's worth reading again and again. Verse 14, but the love of Christ constrains us, constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died, Christ died for all, then all are dead. That's right. Christ died for all. Every from Adam to the last human being. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth, no more, live unto themselves, no, because we're not our own, we're bought with a price. For unto him we live unto him which died and for them and rose again. Now, verse 16. Wherefore I henceforth. This is the Apostle Paul now. Apostle Paul knew Christ, knew of him, had to know of him. And he was there probably watching, crucified. Yay, he's crucified. Verse 14, 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, though we have known Christ after the flesh. We have known him before his crucifixion. We know him that. I knew him. I saw him. I don't know him anymore like that. I'm not trying to have Christ as an example before the cross. He had to go to the cross to make it possible for me to be on the other side of the cross to have life. Life. And therefore, Paul, you're going to say it clearly, I am. In verse 16, we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, right now, when? Right now. I know Christ right now, henceforth, know we him no more. He's the risen Christ, like in Revelation chapter 1. His eyes, his feet, God gives you a glimpse of the awesomeness of his person. We don't know him as up and down the land of Palestine. We know him as the risen Christ. We know him as Lord, God, Almighty. No more do we know. We don't talk about Jesus is a good example and he died for us. No, we don't know him like that. Nope, we know him in all of his wonderful, wonderful fullness. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, therefore we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, verse 17, and we want to be new. We want to be new in a most wonderful way. And so that now, so God, when is that? Now, verse chapter 6. We then as workers together, co-laborers together with God in Christ, co-workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. I don't want you to receive the grace of God in vain, said Paul. We're saved by grace. Now, God, say that again to me a little to drive it home. Verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation came to thy aid and help. Behold, now, not next year, right this second. Now is the accepted time. Behold, again, now is the day of salvation. When are we supposed to exercise it? Now. When he is saved? Now. When do you have life? Now. When are you supposed to be doing it? Now. Not next week. I'm doing it in church because it's Sunday. No. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is now. to you if you're saved. Morning, noon, and night. In the sewer and on top of the mountain. It's now. Hang on. Now. Now. Now, in the light of that. Oh, if you would please, pick it up in 1 Peter, picking up the thought, please, in 1 Peter and chapter 2, where we were, but I want to point out a now. Now remember, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the church is very, 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 very special, and Israel is very, 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 very special as a nation. We are more special in Christ Jesus. We are more precious, and we're more precious. That's the way it is. We don't deserve a drop of it. It's called grace. Grace. Verse 9, but we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar, prized, privileged people, his personal property, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you forth. You're going to show forth what? The wonderful God who saves us. That's right. Who gave us life. Who doesn't condemn us. That's right. We pass from death unto life. And the end of verse 9. Praise us then who hath called us out of the darkness into light. Remember, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and God will give you what? Ephesians 5:14. Light. Light. What do we need? Light. When you can't see and you're doing stupid things, you need light to see. Otherwise, we're working in our blindness. We're working based on the system. We're working based on feelings and fears and faults and what people say and what we should do. You're locked into it. You need light. So you get it clear in your head, casting down. Think of 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 3 through 5. Casting down every high thought in my mind that exalts itself above God. And I said, well, I can't be saved. God doesn't matter. It does matter. I don't want to say it doesn't matter when it does. God says it matters, and I'm telling God it doesn't matter. Well, I'm not going to tell God that. I'm not going to tell God that. Who am I to tell God? I'm not going to tell God that. Now, hang on. So therefore, verse 10. Let me finish. That we should show our darkness into his marvelous, wondrous light. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, amazing thing as we shared. Verse 10. Which, in time past, were not a people, but are now. N-O-W, right now. Now the people of God. Well, when are we the people of God? We're sitting here. And hopefully you're saved, and you're part of God. When are you going to be part of the people of God? Next month? You got to qualify somehow? You're already qualified. You got saved. You're part of the people of God. Now. Now. So you go on the street, now. Whatever your grocery store, whatever you do, now you're part of the people of God. Okay? Now, and verse 10. Now which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God, in his wonderful grace, has granted us mercy, mercy, mercy. Wow. That's what he's done. Now when we get this straight, what's going to happen? Over to the Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 2, what's this going to translate into? And in Galatians in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 20. You know it. I am crucified with Christ, said Paul. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still in this body. Remember the little thing we had up here this morning? In the body. It looks the same. Look the same. Look in the mirror, you're the same. Eat the same food, same refrigerator, same work, same job. That's right. But you're not the same. Not the same anymore. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now, not next month, not next year, the life right this second, Remember, you pass from death unto life. The life which I have now, I live in the flesh. I'm living in the same body, that's right. And I live in the flesh. I am living in by the faith of the Son of God. I am putting all my faith, which faith is in the Son of God. I'm trusting God, walking by faith, having all my trust in the living and only God. That's what faith is. Faith reaches outside of yourself to trust something or someone else. Totally. Faith. Now, therefore, having said that, now, when is that going to happen? Now. I have a wonderful life now. Now, all of those things are now, and I can say them very quickly and move very quickly through them. I can say them. But you need to stop and let it sink in. Personally, somewhere, I am saved now. I am safe now. I am God's now. In the middle of the work, in the house, in the street, wherever it is, now I have his life. Now I am saved. Now I pass from death unto life. Now I'm not condemned. Now, right now. And everything could be going cuckoo. The refrigerator broke, washing machine blew up, and what else could happen? And everything. Doesn't matter. All that is still true. You have life, regardless. The house is burning down. You still have life. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of all of that, go with me, please, over to 1 John and chapter 5. 1 John and chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, may I pick up, please, in thought, if I may, we receive chapter 5. And picking up, I'm going to go for time's sake down if I can, to verse 11. Now this is the record, the witness, the written record, we're reading it, that God hath given to us eternal life, given us already. When do we have it? Now. And this life is where? Located in his Son. He that hath had the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So when I received the Lord as my Savior, I received life. Where is that life? It's in his Son. That's where this life is. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to chapter 3. God has given us life, wonderful, wonderful life. And we're to enjoy that life. Over in chapter 3, picking up if I can, you'll catch it, in verse for time again, for verse 2. I'm going to have to read verse 1. Behold, the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So if you're trying to explain it to everybody, don't waste your time more than not. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. That's what to do. If you're going to sit down and hope someone understands, now, it's true, we should be able to share it with each other in healthy believers, but they aren't very easy to find these days. So be of good cheer. Just enjoy it. Now, 1 John, and in chapter 2, if I can, verse 2. Chapter 3, 1 John, chapter 3, verse 2. Behold, now, N-O-W, right now, right at this present moment, are we the sons, the children of God? When do you be, we're the people of God, we're the children of God? Right now, the children of God. It doth not yet appear, if you were out in the street, and the angels, the bad guys and the good guys were looking at you, and they were having a debate, if they wouldn't have that, but if they... argument between them, and they're looking down and see you walking down the street, and they see you, and here's all the crowd going up and down, and they see you, and they look at you. They look at you special because you're different. And they see what? They see Christ in you. They know there's a child of God. All the humans look the same. There's a child of God. There's a child of God. Ah, hang on. Now, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons, children of God? Doth it yet appear what we shall be? But know that when he shall appear, we just read Romans chapter 13, now the day of your being his appearing is much closer than it was yesterday, to say the least. Verse 2 again, know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Why is that? We're going to be like he is. Going to be like he is. Uh-huh. That's going to be like him. Just like him. And hang on. We're going to go chapter 4. Chapter 4. And verse 17. We read it this morning in the scripture reading. Herein is our love made perfect, complete, more mature, full. That purpose we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, what gives us super edge? What gives us the edge in all of it? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, you have to turn there, John 17, 18. What did you say, Lord? The Lord said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. What are we reading? What is the believer to know? When I go to work and school and church, whatever I do, I represent him. I don't represent humanity as it is, unsaved humanity. I do not represent unsaved humanity. I'm supposed to represent being saved humanity. So as he is, now use your mind if you would. If I were going back in history and I went down the street of Jerusalem and they're all out, this is before in the Passover, they're all out to kill him. They're out to kill him. They hate him. Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes. There they are. Have to get him. Wow. And he said, boy, Peter, you got a sword, but I better get the rest of you guys a weapon. Did he say that? What did he care about any of it? None of it. They're all got the plague. Did he care? Did he care about any of it? What difference does it make what they got? They're in the world. And he's in the will of God to go to the cross. What are we? As he is in the world, you is in the world. So when I go to work, at home, school, whatever I'm doing, I represent him. I don't represent me. Fearful, fumbling around, trying to hang on and survive. No. I'm supposed to represent him. I have to be a believer, believing. If I'm not believing, then you bet I'm going to be like the rest of them. But if I'm going to be believing, dear ones, if I'm going to be trusting him, you bet your boots we're not going to be like them. Not in mind and heart. Hang on. Now, in the light of that, in all of that. So here we are. Over to Colossians. And in Colossians in chapter 1, I want you to note, in verse 27, directly in the light of the context, verse 27, in whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. And he's talking about an awesome thing that no one ever heard of or could believe. Too amazing, unbelievable, except it's for real. Now, That is, what is it now? Verse 27, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now I want you to take two little words and lock them in for the moment. In you. Christ where? Christ where? In you. Yes or no? I received him as my Savior. So God, am I supposed to be believing that and understanding it? Absolutely. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me. Now hang on. Chapter 3. And in chapter 3, may I pick up in thought. Chapter 3, I'm going to go directly to verse 3. 3:3. 4. We are dead. Christ died. When we died, think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 14. When Christ, if Christ died for all of us, then we're all dead. That's right. So here's verse 3. 4. We are dead, and your life is hid where? With Christ in God. You have eternal life now. That's right. And by the way, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, remember Romans chapter 13, now is our salvation nearer than it was. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Wow. Well, God, you're saying all that. I am. Tried everything. Now, God, one more shot before we go to the target. Verse 17. Let the word of Christ dwell where? Why are we reading all these statements? Because they need to be in our head, into our heart. We're supposed to be believing them. They are the instructions. They are to be for our understanding. So we know, what on earth are we doing now that we're saved? What are we supposed to be like? To represent him properly. Verse 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart, in your hearts to the Lord. So God, what are we doing? We're going to the word. The word of God is to dwell in us richly, and that's what it's to do. Why are we reading it? That's why we're reading it. I could give you a little story and a little joke and a few thoughts and about it, what I think, what other people think. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God thinks. And God gave us instruction. He didn't ask us to debate it or dialogue about it. He asked us to do it, to believe it. That's what it's all about. That's what the New Testament's about. It isn't about going out and doing it. No, it's all about the believers being instructed in a unique way. So when you read Ephesians, you're looking at the great God. Paul's in prison, and he writes, he's telling you that believers are part of the body. Paul writes in the prison, same prison. He writes Colossians. Christ is the head of the body. That's all about the body, about us. That's what we're reading, every page. It's an awesome thing. You'd never know it because, and you know the wonderful thing about this is, when you think about it, the early church didn't have that Bible, and they had the Old Testament. They didn't have all the books of the New Testament. They didn't have them. But you know what? They were on fire. We can't duplicate what they had. And they had nothing, but they believed God. And God, they believed God. They were believers, believing. And God blessed them. And he gave them everything that's in the book without them ever reading the book. They had an awesome life. It's all gone. History. We're at the end. And we're trying to make it. You aren't going to make it, unless you understand, God has given us his word. What is his word? Think of John. We're studying John. John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, 1, 2, 3. And the word became flesh and, verse 14, and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ is God, the Son, the Word. He's the one that explains God, the Alpha and the Omega. He explains God. He's the Word. Christ in God, the Lord God, the Son of God in the person of Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, to bring to us, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. For what? For us to understand God. He is God. He's the Word of God. What are we doing with the Bible? We read it this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ, it isn't about Moses, Elijah. No. It's about Jesus. And the Lord said, when you're all done reading page after page, that's what we're doing. That's what we're looking at, God. It's all about you. That's right. It's about you. Well, but we got all these problems. No, you don't. No. If you're looking to me, I'm going to do a wonderful work in your life if you let me. Not just on when you read your devotional and yay. No. I want a reality. I want you to breathe it, live it, go through pain and heartache, whatever it takes. Hang on. God, are you going to help us understand? Absolutely, I can't. Let me do something now. Help you. Just plain. God, the Word of God. And the book of Philippians is written in jail. And the book of Philippians is about the body, that Christ is the head of the body. And since he's the head of the body and you belong to the body, wow, what a dynamic you have. What power you have. The book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, let me just go. I'm just going to enjoy it for a second. Philippians chapter 1. Would you please note verse 6. Being confident, bold, fearless, frank, being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which hath begun a good work, and what's the two little words again, dear friends? In you. How many times does God have to tell you? Well, no. God said, get it from out here. Get it from the book. In you. Move it from out here in just a thought or a message or a good thought. Get it from out here into your heart. In you. He that hath begun. Who? God. That's the whole thing. When we're all done, we're talking about our relationship to God. As he was in the world, so are you. A good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's awesome. That's what you're going to do, God. I am. That's what I'm going to do. We have to move. Oh, chapter 2. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as a member of Paul's in prison, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's what you're supposed to do. We aren't trying to help the governor. We aren't trying to help the president. We aren't trying to help the Congress. We aren't trying to help the policeman. We're trying to help God to have full access to our life that we can enjoy him. And when God finds his proper place, a society that has God's people seeking to honor him is a society that is blessed. When a society abandons God like most of the world, try to find the blessing. Try to find where it's going to go. And our country's being eaten up with all of this stuff. The whole system is against us. That's the problem. It isn't that dumb virus. The virus is being used to cripple us. Do you understand that? Whether you've got the flu, can't you get over the flu? We all can get the flu. We don't try to give each other the flu. But we can get over the flu. Take a pill, you know, whatever. How do you get over when your society, this is a stupid thing, becomes policeless? What do you do when violence rips up your store and your business and your home? And you're worried about the flu? No. No, my God. No, I'm in the middle of this. And I want to honor you in it. That's for sure. The Philippians, work out your own salvation. I'm not trying to fix anything, just my own heart to have what? I want to understand I'm a new creature in Christ. I have eternal life. I'm passed from death unto life. And as he is in the world, so am I, to represent him. Light in the darkness. So I take my light and go to work. I take my light and go to school. I am the light at home, doing the dishes. I'm laying in bed laying in bed with a virus. I'm a light. Wow. God, I want to understand this and enjoy the trip. Now, therefore, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you. I'm going to read that again because maybe it's not right. It is God. Why are you able to do anything? Why are we making these absurd statements about God's magnificence? Because it is God doing it. If we have to do it, it's never, never, never going to happen. God has to do it. God has to do it. And either we're going to let him do it or not. That's all I can say. And it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He didn't ask about me. He didn't ask about. Didn't ask the government. He didn't ask anybody. And we shared it this morning. God is the author of the plagues and the pestilences. He allows them. And I can't think of a better place to be or the person to know than the God who allowed it. The God who allowed it lives in me. Does he live in you? The God who allowed this. Now, what are you worried about out here when God allowed it? Who did? The person inside of you allowed it. And you're worried about it. Worried about anything. Come on. God's in charge. Or isn't he? You see. Now, so God, chapter 4. Oh, no, chapter 3, you remember. So what are we going to, I can't do it all, you know. I'm just looking at it. I'm just following instructions. How can you read your? How do you read your Bible, by the way? Do you read it? Oh yeah, there are my thoughts. Do you know? We could almost stop every third, three or four words. You have to think about them. And they're saying something wonderful, wonderful. Look at it. I'm just going to read verse 13 again for you. For it is God which worketh in you. Well, how fast do you? Don't you want to enjoy that? Read your Bible properly. Read your Bible as a believer. It's loaded to the gills. Overflowing. I don't need a nice message. I need to get the truth clear enough in my little head and heart. Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh, verse 3, sliding down. Paul, what about all the different things we could do? Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those that counted loss for Christ? I'm going to try to do all the things I should. And you should do some things, there's no question. When you're sick, you should take the medicine and everything. You should do all these things. There's not a question of that, it's common sense. But the rest of it, I'm not going to count. I'd be able to know how to count in that. I used to know how to count. I used to. I don't even understand. Over 50, 60 years ago, whatever. calculus and everything. I did, I don't believe it was me. I can't even count now. Hey, how can I do all that stuff? In engineering and everything, I don't believe I did it. I scratched my head. I can't even turn on the little kits. They push buttons and things. I have to give them the mechanism. I don't know how to do it. I asked little Jack. He's little Jack, young kid. Little Jack, 6-year-old or whatever. Little Jack, boop, 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 boop. And it works. Don't ask me. I have no idea how to turn the dumb thing on. You see. Wow. But it isn't about that. No, it isn't. No. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them, but dung, waste, that I may win Christ, that I may have experience, that I may be trusting God in a most wonderful way. So that in the process, verse 12, not as though I had obtained. No, we're running the race. We have to go through the rest of the course. We have to finish everything. That's what you have to do. Not at verse 12, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, mature, complete, for I follow after that I may apprehend to lay hold of that which God has laid hold, the wonderful plan for my life, and I want that plan for my life, to say it simply. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't got there. I'm not finished. God isn't finished yet. Otherwise, we'd be home. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What are you doing? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm running the race that is set before me. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to run the race. Go down the pathway. I'm not finished. God isn't finished with me. God isn't finished with us guys. Now, here we are. So therefore, that's what we're doing. We're going to do that. And in doing so, here's Philippians, the dynamic to be able to live, to succeed in the world. Chapter 4. What are we going to do? Verse 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't stop worrying about everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And you read that, if you believe it, read it. The trouble is, I think we read, not you guys, but you read the Bible, but we don't believe it. We aren't paying attention to what we read. And therefore, we don't enjoy it. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. It's all real. So when we read it, it's real. And you carry that. God has to help you get it to where you experience it and understand it. But just to even read it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then I have to go through the struggle of learning it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God, can you overcome everything? Absolutely. Can I be an overcomer? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I want. I expect you to be. That's why I said to every church, Revelation 2 and 3, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. But I don't want to overcome. I'm just going to be a nominal Protestant, Catholic, and I'll go when I want and do what I wish, and if emergency comes, I'll call God, like 911. Otherwise, we go right down the corridor. And we don't have to bother too much. We got our family, our friends, our needs, our fears, our faults, and we never enjoy God. And to say it honestly, not many believers do. And you know that better than I do. They just don't. And we're supposed to go and get strong and win. No. And what's happening now is, I don't want to get tied up, what's happening now, if we wait till September and then November and we're still waiting for the plague to go and the mass to disappear, and we're caught in it, then we're going to say, and you haven't been to church for 6 months. We're going to see weakness. The world's already weak. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that need to be fed. You need my job. My job is to be a pain in the neck. I'm not trying to, if I do this, someone said, if you just do what I said. But what about this side? I don't honor this side or that side. I'm supposed to honor God. And I'm supposed to be what? I'm supposed to help you be strong. That's my assignment. It isn't just to preach to you. It's to help you make it. What's a pastor do? He didn't come to my house and have tea with me. He never ate one of my cookies. No, I didn't. But my job isn't that, isn't it? My job is to keep you on course in a world that doesn't want you to win. The devil doesn't want you to win. The whole system wants you to get out of it. Get away from God. And that's what's going to happen. I hate to tell you, I hope I'm dead wrong. I do. I do hope I'm terribly wrong. But maybe. Philippians. Be careful, verse, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And that's what we're doing. You know, that's what we're going to do. We've got to worry. We're going to worry about it. We're going to give it to God. We're going to give it to God with thanksgiving so we don't worry about it. And we're trusting God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, so you aren't going to figure it out. You aren't going to sit there and say, well, God, how's it going to work? You don't need to know how it's going to work. What you need to do is make sure you're giving it to God with thanksgiving. How's it going to go? You may have the whatever it is, and you get the next pling and the next thing and the next thing, and pretty soon you're, wow! God isn't finished. Isn't finished with what? With you. He's working on you. And though working on you, he's working on the whole world. But he's working in particular because we're working out our what? Our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we're doing. And we're looking for God. So what about everything? No, I don't know how to fix the dumb rioters. I don't know what to do. I'm not going to get into it. It's a horrible thing. But I understand it. You have to take down America somehow. And that's what happens. So therefore, with thanksgiving, the peace of God passes all understanding. And God does that. And I can do, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now God, I did fast, but hope you got a little bit. I didn't mean to tell you some of this stuff. And probably we should scrap the tape. But I wanted you to say it. I'm saying where it is, that's all. The people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They're going to make believe. They're making believe. They want to see. They want to hear. Tell me what I want to hear. Now, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I want to tell you what I have to tell you. And that's what I have to do. And that's what I'm trying to do. And therefore, God, verse 19, my God shall supply all your need. How so? According to the riches, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. God, you have to meet it. And all I can tell you, dear friends, I haven't helped you, but I'm not trying to do whatever. Because this is one shot thing coming through now. Once this is over, I don't know how it's going to be. But this is it. And so I'm shooting for the target and trying to get you to understand God gave his word. It's him. The Bible's him, God. So when I read the Bible, I'm reading about God and his magnificence. I want to trust him. I want to get those little wonderful little words in you. Now. So I don't lose it. I don't want to lose it. Greater is he that is in you now. Well, that's right. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Now. That's right. Wow. I want to get it. And God help us. That's all I can say. And everyone will do what they're going to do. Go what they're going to do. That's all they're going to do. All I can do is tell you. And that's where it is. I stand back. And the world's going to do, people are going to do what they do. It won't be that we didn't try to, at least fumbling, try to help them. That's all. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, for indwelling. Thank you for possessing these bodies. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you for being who you are. God, thank you very, very much. Help us. Help me, God, in my poverty. Help me. Help us. In Christ's name, amen.